hope you're all doing okay. Are you well? I hope you've been sort of sunbathing, barbecuing, paddling pool stuff, because it's over, isn't it? That's it. Today's the last day. So, September is a new season. It always feels like a new season. It is a new season. And, you know, summer's over, school is back. And the church year begins really in September. So, and for us, it really is a new season, isn't it, as a church. So we have just started a new sermon series called A New Season. And it's a great one for us preachers, because we have been asked to choose one verse that is something that's been really useful for us or important to us over the years, and hopefully has some bearing for us on this new season. And I could have, I have loads. I could do the whole sermon series by myself. I'm really good. But so I was thinking, Lord, which of the many verses that have meant something to me do you want me to speak on? I just, at that moment as I was praying, I felt a very clear direction. I felt God say, speak on that. So I will be speaking on 1 Corinthians 7:29a. It's not even the whole verse, it's the first half of it. And our theme this morning is, the time is short. So let's just pray together. When I was in the first year of vicar school, vicar factory, down in Oxford, Katie, now my wife, back then girlfriend, came to sort of visit me on a weekend, and we were standing in the common room of the a college, and the door opened, and Katie couldn't believe her eyes, because a sort of guy walked in who she had known from uni in Lancaster 3 years ago. And this guy was there visiting another friend, and he was young, he was handsome, he had a girlfriend, there were rumours of marriage kind of bells, and we chatted with him, Katie and I chatted with him for a few minutes, and then he was gone. And we heard about this guy about a month later on after that, and we heard about him because he was dead. One morning he sort of woke up feeling a little bit unwell. And 48 hours later, he was dead. 23 years old. On that March morning, when we met him, he surely had all the time in the world. Katie's part of a Facebook group called Captivate, or Captivated, whatever it is. Thousands of Christian young women are part of it, and they share all kinds of stuff. And so two or three sort of summers ago, Katie told me about one post from somebody who had a baby girl called Hope, who was just over a year old. And when Hope was 16 weeks old, this woman's husband was diagnosed with cancer. And over that summer, a year after this, a year after his diagnosis, this young man, a follower of Jesus, a Christian, he passed away. He was 28 years old. On that day that little Hope was born, he surely had all the time in the world. A few years ago, I was part of a core group of church leaders who got together to pray every month, and we sort of WhatsApped each other during the month and met up. And over that summer, that very summer that Katie was shared this message, we were due to go away for a 24-hour prayer retreat, as we did every year. And the wife of one of those in this group texted us to say that her husband had taken ill, and so we postponed this to retreat until he got better. But 2 weeks later, that friend of ours in his mid-50s, a great church leader of St. John's Berska, great man of God, died from multiple organ failure. In those summer days, at the beginning of July, he surely had all the time in the world. And there are personal tragedies associated with all of these stories, but I tell them this morning because they've served as a reminder to me, and hopefully to all of us, That whatever stage of life we're in, however old we are, however long we have left, life is short. The time is short, and the reality is, if truth be told, if we are honest with ourselves, is that most of us don't live as if our time is short. We live as if we have all the time in the world. And it's reflected in our choices, in our mindsets, in our priorities, in those things that we talk about, in how we spend our money, in how we allocate our time, in those things that are important to us. And in contrast to how it might sound, living as if your time is short is not a negative thing. It's a powerful thing. It's a joyful thing. It is true kingdom living. And I could speak on this, honestly, for weeks on this. I just want to throw a couple of points today about it, what it looks like living with an understanding that our time is short. And there is a state of being that Jesus found so important that he talked about it over and over again, a state of being of somebody who has understood fully that their time is short and is living accordingly. And Jesus tells several stories to illustrate this. I'm actually going to give two of his stories, and here's one of them. Jesus tells a short story, a short parable, about a group of 10 virgins who went to a wedding. They were there as bridesmaids, and their job, their one job, was to have lots of lights, and they did a sort of procession of lights, and the bridegroom walked down it. That's how they sort of did it. And so all these maids, these bridesmaids, came with a sort of lantern or a big sort of torch. And they were there in expectation, waiting for this bridegroom to, you know, show up. And if you've ever been to a third world wedding, and I've been to loads, the timing is a little bit loose, to say it lightly. You know, this lasts for a week, lots of few hours here and there. And so these bridesmaids have sort of come, and they fell asleep because he'd been delayed. And suddenly, they were walking up. Bridegroom's come. Five of them had brought extra oil with them. Five of them hadn't, and they found their lamps were virtually out, so they run away to get some extra oil. But the bridegroom arrives, and they do the whole procession of light thing, and they go in, and they go into the wedding banquet, and they shut the door. And then these five bridesmaids, these five extra ones, run back, having got their oil, and they're pounding on this door, and they say, "Let us in. We're a bridesmaid. We're part of the whole show. Let us in." And then as bridegroom at the other side of this door, he doesn't open it. He shouts through this door. He says, "You can't come in. The door is shut. I don't know who you are. You weren't ready." And Jesus ends this story by telling his listeners, for all those who would hear, be vigilant. Live in a state of readiness. Your time is short, so you've got to be ready. And Jesus is asking this question. He asked them then, and he asks us now. He's here holding it out to all of us. If your life was to end now, would you be happy to hand it over in its current state? Readiness means that if your life was to end now, at any moment, if your boat was called in, if you had to cash in your chips, if you had to hand it over, you could hand it over with no regret, no change, no renegotiation. There wouldn't be any sort of request for five more minutes to sort everything out. There wouldn't be any scramble for the oil. There wouldn't be any frantic last-minute realignments. You wouldn't be cramming in all those things that you have neglected in your life. There wouldn't be a frantic session on eBay getting rid of the old stuff that you just didn't need. Jesus calls for vigilance. He calls for readiness in his people. Living as if our time is short means that we are always ready. Our lives are ready. Our priorities are right. Do you know what? It doesn't matter how long or short we are. Everyone's got a different length. What matters is, are we ready? And being ready, you know what? Isn't about dying. That isn't the issue. It's about living. It's about living a life that we are called to. Living a life of fullness and power. Living a life of richness and purpose. And these New Testament Christians were so aware of this thing. So aware of this that Paul could write this letter in 1 Corinthians and say some weird stuff as he says in 1 Corinthians, verse 29, 13, 31. He says, what I mean, brothers, he says, and sisters, is that the time is short. You know, those of you who have wives, he said, should live as if you haven't got them. Those of you who mourn, as if you do not. Those of, as if those who are happy, as if you're not. Those who buy something, as if it was not yours to keep. Those who use things of this world, as if not engrossed in them. He says, for this world, this present day, is passing away. And of course, Paul isn't telling his people to abandon your wives or husbands, no matter how attractive that might seem to some. He's not saying to stop mourning when someone dies. He's not saying to stop feeling happy. He's saying the time is short. He's saying in very blunt language, he's worried that those people he's writing to aren't living as if their time is short. They aren't living as if they are ready. He's worried that they would be taken by surprise if their time was called today. He's worried that they were living as if they had all the time in the world. And I wonder if I can ask you, if your life was called to account today, if your life was to end now, would you be happy to hand it over in this current state? No regret, no change, no renegotiation. Are you ready? Are you living with the urgency and the fullness? Are your relationships, particularly with your Heavenly Father, but all of them, are they in the right place that today, you are ready? And one of the signs that our life is ready is that whatever barn you are currently building is being built for the kingdom of God. And here's the second story of many that Jesus tells about a life that is ready. And he tells the story of a man, a farmer, who happened to have a huge harvest one year, so big that he can't fit it into his own barns. And so this farmer sits down and he thinks it through, and he makes a classic decision of a person who thinks they have all the time in the world. Who's not building for God's kingdom, but for building for himself. And he says, I'm going to tear down my barns, I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to put all that stuff in the barns, and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. I have all the time in the world. And Jesus says that very night, his life was demanded from him, and all he had built came to nothing. And Jesus is reminding those who would listen that we are only ready if what we're building at the moment is for the kingdom of God, under the guidance and direction and love of God, and not for our own dreams and ambitions and securities and purposes. Being ready means refusing to build our own barns. Whatever that might mean for each of us, it means spending our time building for the kingdom of God, for the purposes of God, for the love of God. I love the story of Eric Liddell. Eric Liddell is definitely one of my all-time kind of heroes. And Eric Liddell's story is told famously in the now old film Chariots of Fire, but still a great film. And he became famous in the Olympics of 1924 for refusing to run the 100 metres race, even though he was the favourite to actually win it. He refused to run it because the heats for that race fell on a Sunday, and he felt that violated his beliefs, Christian beliefs. And not everybody believed, not every Christian agreed with him. And though he was vilified in the press, actually, even in Parliament they criticised him, he stuck by it. And so he ran the 400 metres instead. It wasn't his race. No one gave him a chance of winning. And yet he won it. He won the gold medal in world record time. And after that gold medal and this world record run, everything changed for him. The press that had been vilifying him a week ago, they just went mad. One journalist called it the greatest 400-meter race that had ever been run. A different one said he had reached immortality. Another one said he was the greatest athlete ever produced by any country ever. They loved him. They went crazy. It took 56 years for another Scot to win a gold medal, ironically, in the 100 metres. And when Alan Wells won it in 1980, he told the media, that one's for Eric Liddell. 56 years later. Everyone loved him. The world was his oyster. And then less than a year later, at the height of his fame and of his powers, he chose to give it up. He boarded a ship bound for China, and he became a missionary. He never raced internationally again. They thought he was crazy. He gave it all up. He abandoned it, but he was ready. He was ready because the only thing he was interested in is building for the kingdom of God. He could have built a great big barn for himself. But he refused to build his own barns. He lived like a person who was ready. Another of my heroes was a guy called C.T. Studd, a guy who was the best English cricketer of his generation. He had vast wealth. But when he became a Christian, he gave all his fortune away, turned his back on the adulation of his sporting fans. He also became the missionary in China, and then India, Africa. He basically disappeared from view for 13 years. And he wrote a poem which was like the soundtrack to his life, quite a long poem. But I'm just going to read two or three kind of paragraphs from this poem that he wrote. Two little lines I heard one day, travelling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, it'll soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervour burn, and from this world now let me turn, living for you and you alone, bringing you pleasure on your throne. Only one life, it'll soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, your will be done. And when at last I hear your call, I know I'll say, it was worth it all. Only one life, it'll soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. What are you building, my friends? Truth is, everyone's building something. We're barn builders. We can't help it. That's what we do. The question is, are you building for God's kingdom under his direction, for his purposes, for the love of him, or are you building for yourself? You are only ready if what you are building today is for the kingdom of God. Only one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And just as I come to an end this morning, for some of us in this room, getting ready will mean different things. For some it will mean giving your life over to Jesus. You haven't done that yet. As it says in 2 Corinthians 6, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. Today, there is an urgency of decision making. Now is your day of salvation. You need to get ready. For others, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, you are living as if you are engrossed with the world. Your allegiance to God is in your mouth and not in your life, in what you say and not what you do. You need to get ready. For others, as Jesus spoke of in Luke 12, you are building barns for yourself, for your own dreams, purposes, securities. These kind of barns will not last. Build for the kingdom. Build for the glory of God. For the love of God. Only one life, my friends. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. The time is short. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the gift of time that you have given us, each of us. Some of us a bit shorter, some of us a bit longer. Lord, we thank you for it. Father, we are sorry when we live as if we have all the time in the world. world. Father, forgive us that we live thinking, I'll get ready tomorrow. I'll get ready next week. I can put that off. I have all the time in the world. Lord, I just pray for each of us here in the room. Lord, whatever this might mean for us today, whatever it is that you are saying to us, now is the day. Now is the time. Do it now. Do it now. Don't put it off anymore. Lord, forgive us when we build barns for our own security, build barns for our own ambition. Lord, it's folly. It's folly. Forgive us when we do so. Lord, will you pour your Spirit in this place? Will you shine a light onto our lives? If we are doing that, Lord, forgive us. Will you forgive us, Lord? Pray, Lord, that we will build a barn that lasts forever for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, for the love of you, God. Lord, I know sometimes these words from the front go in one ear and out the other, Lord, that's okay. That's maybe how it is. But I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for each one today, that you are asking, now is the time, now is the day. I'm just going to invite the band up to play, and just even as we worship together, Katie and I are going to be at the back, and if you want to make a line in the sand. If you know God is saying to you, I've got to do this. I've got to do it today. Then come and let's pray for you. Make it, draw a line in the sand. Say, I hear you, Lord. Today I'm going to do something about this.